Welcome everyone to the Feeder Series season review of the Formula Regional European Championship by Alpine, or as we all know it, Freca. My name is Chris McCarthy. I'm going to be your host for this. Of course, one of the two commentators for the championship, the other being George Morgan. And alongside me for this season review, we have a very special guest, a driver from the championship. A very, very warm welcome to Adam Fitzgerald. Adam, on behalf of everyone, it is so great to see you again, and so great to see that you are out in a car again recently as well. Just tell us, first of all, how you've been feeling recently, mate, and tell us how it was to be back out in a car recently as well.
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on the pod. Really nice to be here. So I was back in the car 1 month ago. I was over in the States testing in USF Pro 2000. To be honest, I didn't expect to be back in the car this quickly after the accident that happened, but I got the opportunity, and I suppose if I didn't take this opportunity as, like, you know, the main preseason testing, the chance of me securing a seat for next year would be really low. So I guess I took the risk, even though I wasn't fully recovered. Jumped back in the car, didn't really know what to expect, didn't know if my body would hold up and whatnot. But I was really surprised with how it was. Wasn't too much issues, to be honest. And more than that, I was up to speed quite quickly on the first day as soon as I jumped back in the car. So I mean, I couldn't really ask for much more than that. So yeah, that was good. The injury, of course, set me back quite a lot. I had to pull out of the season after that injury. Really, really tragic what happened overall. But myself, I think it's amazing what the human body can do, you know, like to recover from the injuries I had within the space of 5 or 6 months was pretty incredible. So just grateful overall, really.
No, it's truly inspiring what you've done. And we're going to talk a lot more about that, both at the start here and at the end as well. Let's first welcome in as well the other guest we're going to have with us, the man who reports on the championship for us, his track side for us as well, Percy Wolf. Percy, it's great to have you with us as well. Of course, seen you in the paddock this year a few times. You brought the bad weather with you. I think it was to Zandvoort. Great to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, hi Chris, hi Adam, hi everyone. Yeah, it's been a long time since my last visit on this podcast. So it's really great to be there to talk about Freca because, yeah, what a year it has been. I haven't been on the paddock as much as I would have liked to, but still, what a year it has been. And yeah, probably one of the most competitive and exciting seasons. So yeah, I can't wait to talk about all the future F3, F2, and hopefully F1 stars that were in Freca this year.
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the season. We're going to break it down for you. We're going to do a little bit of a feeder series awards at the end. And then we're going to end by reflecting on, of course, what we lost from the championship this year as well. So that's going to be a bit of a rundown as to how we're going to do this. But first of all, I want to come back to you, Adam, and talk to yourself. As I said, it's so great to have you here. It was a really big loss when we didn't have you in the paddock anymore. And I have to say, on behalf of everyone, it's really inspiring to see that you've been able to return to the seat. I mean, tell us the challenges, both physically and mentally, how that's been for you.
To get back in the car after the accident, physically, I mean, I guess I had the guts of 5 or 6 months, I think, to recover. So the first period of that recovery was really tough. You know, the first 2 weeks in hospital were awful. Next few months, it was just kind of, you know, wasn't allowed to do any physical activity. So I kind of went from being in the best shape of my life back to, you know, starting from the bottom again, which was tough, but, you know, it could be worse. And right now I'm back to close to where I was before the accident. Had a good few months to get back in shape. And then I suppose when I jumped back in the car, I was really surprised with the fitness level I was at. Didn't really have too much issues. Wasn't at the level I wanted to be, you know, jumping into the car again. Like, I suppose towards the end of the test days, I maybe got a bit fatigued and stuff like that, but that's normal. And now I've had another month to train. So when I jump back in again, I imagine it'll be a different story and I'll be, you know, back to where I was. But next year, so I'll just tell you a bit about my plans for next year.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be racing in Europe next year. We've decided to make the move over to the States. So I'll be racing in USF Pro 2000 with Turn 3 Motorsport. So really happy with that. They're one of the top teams in the championship and just really looking to see what we can achieve together next year. It's an exciting move. IndyCar is the road to Indy now instead of the road to F1, let's say. Never close that door, let's say, but yeah, it's exciting.
That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, we're seeing European drivers make that move. Kyle Collett, I think, being one of them, going to do Indy next year. And we've seen other drivers do that. So that's absolutely fantastic. Congratulations from all of us around the paddock. And we all support you. I just want to ask you a couple more questions quickly and tell us, you know, the paddock all pulled together when everything happened. Tell us about the support you received. I imagine it was from everyone in the community. It must have been quite extensive. And how good it was to come back. I know you were at the Red Bull Ring. How it was to come back and be back with the RPM team.
Yeah, I couldn't really ask for much more in terms of the support I got from everyone in the community. Didn't realize it was such a tight-knit community as it is, you know, the motorsport community. The messages I got, like, from everyone up and down the racing ladders, and even from team bosses, F1 team bosses and drivers and all sorts of people showing their support to myself. What was your other question?
And how it was being back at the Red Bull Ring.
Yeah.
As well. I know you were there with the guys, yeah.
Yeah, I came back to the Red Bull Ring to support the team, say hello to everyone again. And it was really nice as well to meet up with the MP Motorsport team and just, you know, have a heart-to-heart with them. You know, it was just really nice to see everyone in general and just receive the support. And it wasn't nice being on watching the race from the pit lane, let's say. But, you know, overall, it was really good to be back.
And I know you've been in touch closely with Delano's family as well, and you've got some plans going there as well, which I'm sure we'll hear about more in the future. So keep that up, and on behalf of everyone, fantastic stuff. And we're really great to see you back out in the car, and wish you all the best for next season. But let's get on with the review, shall we? Because I know you kept an eye very closely on the championship, supporting the team. What are our general thoughts? I'll come to you first, Percy. What are our general thoughts on the season? I mean, I think it's been one that had a lot of attention, definitely throughout the year. What were our general thoughts on it? Any moments that stick out for us? We had a fantastic champion for a start, I think.
Yeah, there were so many great moments, a great champion too, of course. But I think the two final weekends were really, truly amazing so much emotion. So as you said, I was at Zandvoort, and you could feel the pressure increasing for the title battle with Antonelli, Stenson, etc. And there were so many drivers that had to perform to hope to continue their career. And after this, there was Hockenheim. And I believe the second race there was one of the most exciting races I've ever seen. The battle for the team's title was superb, and Chris, you really made this battle even more exciting. Your commentary made everything more exciting all season long. So it was a really special moment. And well, of course, as a Frenchman, I have to add Alessandro Giusti's first win on home soil in front of Sami Mektounif, who dedicated this podium for Delano, his teammate. That was really a special moment too.
And yourself, Adam, what were your thoughts on the season overall in terms of the battles that we had? Anything that stuck out for you in particular?
I mean, it was very up and down as Freke is. You know, you never have one driver winning all the time. It was very interesting to watch it unfold. Antonelli, of course, was very impressive coming in his first year and winning, which not a lot of drivers do. Stenson as well, I think, stood out as, you know, a driver coming in who let's say outperformed maybe what some people expected to come second in the championship. So that was impressive to see from himself. Hockenheim as well was very cool. I was watching it from home, a track I'd love to race at in the future. But I mean, that kind of what I expected. The racing was brilliant with the long straights and whatnot and the heavy braking zones. So yeah, good season overall.
Yeah, and a brilliant crowd as well. We'll talk about that a bit later, but I think 35,000 we had on race day, and drivers had a huge queue for autographs as well, which was fantastic. Let's start by talking about our champion, shall we? Andrea Kimi Antonelli took a record-breaking title win overall, scored the most points that we'd seen in a season, got to 300 overall, which wasn't far off how many Dino Beganovic scored in his two seasons. He scored 335. He scored 23 more than Grégoire Saucy did on his way to becoming a champion. Really impressive season for him overall. Just pulling up his stats here now, 11 podiums, 5 wins for him. Percy, I mean, that's we can see why Mercedes are backing him and why they've kind of put him in a rush up to Formula 2. Incredibly impressive driver we have here.
Yeah, I've talked to Stéphane Guérin from Mercedes, who was at Zandvoort, about this jump to F2. And I really believe that if one driver can do this jump from Freca to F2, it can only be Antonelli. He had so much pressure on his shoulders this year, despite being a rookie, despite missing a big part of Freca post-season testing at the end of last year because he was injured. He was still the main favorite, and he delivered constantly, race after race. And yeah, as you said, the only two races he finished out of the top six, it was because of a mechanical failure in Imola and of a post-race penalty in Monza. And paradoxically, the Hockenheim was probably his worst weekend with only two P6, I think, but he still became the star of the weekend by doing this move at the final lap, which helped Prema to clinch the team's title. So yeah, this guy has some real talent. He knows how and when to deliver, even in difficult conditions. And that's really impressive at only 17 years of age.
Adam, what did you make watching that move on the final lap? He was in seventh. He had to get P6 off Nikhil Bora. He had one push to pass left and he saved it for the last lap. Used it coming round that big curve towards the hairpin and sold him the dummy, got the move into the hairpin. What did you make watching that? If it's coming back to you now, I'm sure you might remember it. Still had to complete it on the exit. I mean, it had us all on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, you could tell he was going to go for the move way before the corner because of what was on the line. Yeah. And once he put it down the inside, that was it. He just, you know, there was nowhere for the driver on the outside to go, and he had the move done. He could just park it at the apex. So very nice, very nice. He got the braking zone right, I guess, and, you know, did it. So, yeah, good job to him.
And you're the only one out of all of us that can say you've raced against Kimi. How was he to race against? How was he as a fellow driver in the paddock?
I wouldn't say race against. I wasn't quite racing wheel to wheel with Kimi, but yeah, I mean, I've watched him when I was in F4. I mean, I've seen some of the races he did in Italian F4. He was always really strong there, and obviously he carried that into Freca too. So yeah, he's for sure a good driver, and it'll be interesting to see what he can achieve in F2. It's going to be a big jump, but he's with the same team, one of the top teams in the championship. So, you know, you never know. If he wins it in the first year, it'll be pretty monumental, let's say.
Do you think he's got the ability to go up and challenge?
I don't really know like what kind of learning curve it is now, like to jump from Freca to F2. But I think the jump, you know, to Freca is maybe just as hard. It's super competitive. The car is a lot different to the F4 car. So I think if he did it in Freca, then there's a good chance he could possibly do it in F2. If things go his way, you know, and he gets some luck on his side as well.
New car as well. And as we record this, I'm going to be completely honest, day one of F2 postseason testing, and he was second. So there you go. We'll see what happens on the other 2 days. But let's go next to our vice champion, Martinius Stenshorn, as we look back through some of the drivers who finished towards the top, took a record-breaking 13 rookie wins, Percy, on his way to becoming the rookie champion. I mean, Isaac Hadjar, who's now in Formula 2, been testing in Formula 1, took 8. Gabriele Mini took 6 back in 2021 and finished as vice champion, putting in the best performance we've ever seen as a rookie driver. And really wasn't that bothered when I interviewed him about being the rookie champion. He wanted that title. Do you think he deserves some F1 support now after that season he's put in?
Yes, of course, definitely. I think, in my opinion, the question is not if he deserves F1 support, but when he will receive it. Because We didn't talk much about him after his Italian F4 season, but he had already kind of crushed his teammates at Van Ameer's Fort while being a rookie. So we knew he could become the rookie champion, but not a lot of us would have tipped him as the biggest threat to Antonelli. He has been so consistent, so fast, but we still see there is some room for improvement, especially on safety car restart. He has been a bit slow in this moments, but honestly, he has been so impressive all year. And yeah, I can't wait to see him in F3, even though he might join another team other than Prema or Trident. He has been testing a lot with Hi-Tech, so he will be a dark horse for the title. And I would not be surprised if he gets the same kind of success than Isaac Hadjar got with Hi-Tech in 2022.
Yeah, no, and I have to ask you, Adam, I mean, it came as a surprise to some of us when Martinez did as well as it did. Was it a surprise for you at all to see him running up so high as a fellow driver out there, or did you know him as someone that would be fighting towards the front?
No, it did come as a surprise to me. I did do two rounds of Italian F4 the prior year in 2022, so
right.
I raced against him there, and from what I can remember, he was, you know, he wasn't often fighting for race wins, I don't think. I mean, I don't know where he finished the championship, but I think he significantly outperformed what he had achieved in F4 in Freca. So yeah, I don't think it was expected. Obviously, he was with RAC, who are a great team, but he also had very experienced teammates who I think he outperformed a lot of the time as well. So yeah, it's good.
Where do you think that can come from? I mean, we saw Bortoleto win F3 this year quite comfortably as well, and somewhat might have been surprised at that, given in Freca he didn't challenge for the title. Do you think that as a driver, maybe one season you can fight for a top five or a top 10, and then you can just really gel with a team in a car and have that perfect symmetry, I guess, and that can lead to almost a perfect season, or almost a perfect season from your experience as a driver? Do you think that can happen?
Yeah, I think everything has to go right. You know, you need to be in a good team, first of all, as we've seen in any series. It helps, I think, if you gel with the car. We've seen that some drivers, you know, might not do so well in F3 and they do well in F2, or vice versa. And then there's two other factors, like you need to be in the right mindset. You know, you need to be constantly performing at a high level. If you're fighting for a championship like Freca, or you're trying to finish in the top five, top three, you have to consistently perform at the highest level every weekend, and there's no room for mistakes, let's say. So mindset's a big thing as well, and, you know, I suppose handling the pressure when it comes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, great insight. Thank you for that. Percy, I want to come to you now next. Let's talk Tim Tramnitz next. Red Bull Junior he's worked very hard to get that backing, I think it's fair to say. En route to Formula 3, it seems, he was out testing with MP Motorsport was Tim Tramnitz. Third in the championship for him overall. What do you make of his season? I think put in a very good performance overall, got that double win in the season as well. Ended with a home victory as well. What do you make now? He's got that Red Bull Junior backing as well. Do you think Tim would be happy with a championship podium?
It's hard to be happy when you are behind your teammate, I think. It will be hard for him to finish behind his rookie teammate. He was supposed to be the leader of the team because of his experience. But honestly, I think he would have deserved more. If we compare the qualifying or even the race pace of Team Tramnitz compared to the one of Martin Stenson, they pretty much had the same level. So it's great for him that Red Bull managed to see this. Tramnitz didn't have an easy year in 22 as he was injured all season long. So it's great for him to bounce back this way. Anyway, I think we can all agree to say that Antonelli, Stenson and Tramnitz were really the standout drivers all year, because there were some other drivers that have managed to fight against them on some occasions, but not on the whole season.
Where do you think he lost it then? Was it race wins? I mean, three for him. Do you think he needed a couple of more in there, really? Because he did well in podiums. He got quite a few in there. Do you think it was just a couple of race wins that he lost out on?
Maybe not on wins, but I think some DNFs that could have been avoided. Like that, the first thing that pops into my mind, it's the collision he got with Casavercourt at Hungaroring. It could have been important points, and maybe it would have changed the rest of the season. We can't know.
Yeah, and then there was that one at Imola as well. And I guess while we're on that, actually, I think we can use this opportunity talking about incidents at Imola quickly, Adam, to talk about your one there as well, because it was quite an incident-packed race, wasn't it? Tell us about what happened with yourself there. Of course, it was one recovery that then had to lead into another one. Just tell us a little bit about what happened from your point of view there.
Yeah, I never expected to start the season with an injury like that. But yeah, in the second race, I went for a mover on the outside of turn one and basically spun. Car basically went up in the air, landed back down on one of them big sausage curves. And then the impact was directly on the tub. So that ended up breaking my back. I broke 3 vertebrae and I was out then for the next month. So I was kind of, you know, on bed rest for the next month. That was the first race, actually. So I missed the second race of that weekend. So it was actually first race of the season. Not a great way to start. I thought I'd be out for the whole season, but somehow I recovered, got back in the car for Barcelona 1 month later. Probably wasn't a good idea in hindsight because I wasn't fit enough for it. But that's kind of my Imola.
No, you definitely made it tough stuff, mate, to come back from that. And then again, from what you come back from and be getting ready to do the USF stuff, mate.
In F4, I had zero big crashes like that, you know, barely any damage. And then to have two in the space of, you know, the first half of the season, I just guess it was just bad luck, but it happens.
Yeah, I remember seeing the onboard as well, and it looked really, really tough. But good to see you getting ready now. I want to stick with you for this one, Adam. Of course, our top five was rounded out by two very good drivers as well in Kaz Avakil and Rafael Camara. Of course, it was Kaz's third stab at this now. He's been with us since the start. Rafael Camara as well, who raced with Prema. I wonder what's next for these guys. I look back at their seasons as well. Kaz had a fantastic start, took the win at Imola in that race that we mentioned, and then it took him up until Zandvoort, really, to get back on the top stepper again, which was a really great win for him from pole position. A lovely way to get towards the end of his season and perhaps maybe his Freckert career as well. Rafa Camara just struggled to get towards podiums, really, but he did get those wins at Spa, Red Bull Ring as well. What do you think's next for these guys, Adam? Do you think maybe one we see back next year and the other we see moving on to other things?
Yeah, it's hard to say. With Kaz, I don't know, can you do more than 3 years in the championship? I'm not sure if that's in the regulations or if you're allowed to do that or not.
I'm not too sure, but in terms of their seasons overall as well, do you think they'll be happy with top five finishes? I mean, Rafa Camara, for example, coming up.
I don't know. It's hard to know. I mean, Rafa Camara was in, he was in a great team, Prema. Top five isn't bad in your rookie year for sure. So it's hard to know. You know, everyone has different expectations. So I can't really comment on whether he'd be happy or not. And the same goes for Kaz. Kaz wasn't in maybe as competitive as a team, you could say. So yeah, it's hard to know what their expectations were and if they exceeded them or not.
Yeah. But a home win as well for Kaz, that must have been a fantastic moment for him. I imagine racing, you didn't really have the privilege, I guess, but I imagine racing in an international championship, that's got to be one of the top things you aim for as a driver if you get that chance.
Yeah, 100%. The Freckert Championship is incredible. I mean, the circuits you go to are mind-blowing. Like, they're the top-class circuits around Europe. So like Hungaroring was probably my favorite. That's an incredible circuit. Yeah, I wish I could go back there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, those two were hard to split apart. One point it was between them in the end, Percy. But I want to move on from those two and speak to you about someone I think you're probably dying to talk about, Alessandro Giusti, who had a quiet start to the year, really. That 1 points finish at Imola at the start. But once we got to Paul Ricard and he got himself on the top step, he couldn't get off the podium. Red Bull Ring, he, of course, had his he had his trip to the top step where he had some champagne that he maybe shouldn't have had. And then he was back there again at Monza as well for G4 Racing. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, again, it was another driver that was arguably a surprise package.
Yeah, clearly, I was not expecting him to do that well. Three wins, sixth overall in the standings. Yeah, especially with G4 Racing that finished dead last in the standings the year before. It's been really impressive, an impressive recovery from G4. But he has managed to learn and to progress a lot with the help of Michael Beloff that brought loads of experience with him, of course. And this lineup has really pushed the whole team in the right direction. And yeah, I can't wait to see where he will be next year. He has been testing in Freca, he should do a second season, probably with ERT. So it will be intriguing to see if he will manage to continue and maybe fight for the title.
We should explain, by the way, I was given the information that he was 17. And I went to check with him I went to actually say happy birthday to him, and he'd driven off to go to the I guess you can call the grid, and so there we go. I thought it's his 18th birthday, and I spoke with the guys in the championship. We thought this is brilliant. We got a guy 18th birthday on pole position, so we went absolutely big with it. And then when we were sat having dinner that evening, we got a message from the G4 Racing team boss saying it's his 17th birthday, and so we thought that champagne. I don't think he was supposed to have that.
It was really boring for me on Twitter. I had to say to literally everyone he was 17 and not 18. It's been a long evening after for me.
He was all right about it. I apologize to him, but I don't think I needed to say sorry. Let's just say that. It was quite a funny moment, and now we look back on it. But Adam, let's come to something that I guess you will be able to tell us a lot about, and that is the RPM team. I think they've been arguably the star team for this year. Ninth in their first year last year, and they moved forward to fourth place this year. I mean, Keith Donegan, who was driving his own car in the first season for half the year, said to me at the start, you know, he really wants to fight for podiums this year. And that's exactly what he did. He got on the podium a couple of times. Santiago Ramos taking it to a podium at Hungary. Maseo Capietto then took it to a podium in the second race at Hungary as well. I mean, tell us how impressive it's been for the team and how it's been to work with them as well. They ninth in the first year, fourth this year. I mean, that's a hugely impressive result.
Yeah, I mean, it's really impressive to see what Keith built within the space of 2 years, you know, from ninth to fourth. I guess that's fourth with two drivers too, because I missed most of the season. So, I mean, that's even more impressive. But yeah, Keith's a great operator. He does a great job. And then the team in general, all the guys there, just really, you know, super motivated to do a good job and start fighting for championships and race wins. So it's brilliant to see. It was a great environment overall to be in, for learning, you know. Like, I had two teammates, I had a great engineer, or sorry, two strong teammates and a great engineer, which helped me progress a lot. I think I learned more in them first four races and the testing we done than I did in all my racing career prior to that. Yeah. So it was really good. I wish them all the best for the future.
Yeah. Do you see them moving forward even more next year? I mean, he's mentioned to me that he wants to fight the top two now. Do you think they can do that?
I think they can definitely do that. They have the car for it. Their car is always really strong. And I guess they just need to get the right driver lineup then. And I think there's no reason why they can't be fighting for the top two in the championship. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Keith seems a very level-headed guy. Anytime you speak to him, you know, he's always willing to whether something's gone bad, good or bad, he's always willing to have a chat. Is that reflected, I guess, as well? It must be good to have someone like that as a team boss as well when you're a driver, especially coming into the championship for the first time.
Yeah, he's very level-headed, and it helps that we're both from Ireland, so you know, we communicate very effectively together. And the fact that he drove the car, the exact we're racing himself, really helps, because he can engineer it, he can drive it, he can be a team boss. So he was actually engineering me for for quite a bit as well, I think, for the testing and stuff like that. So I learned loads off Keith, which was great.
I was going to say, that's pretty unique, isn't it? I don't think in F2, F3, I don't know if there's any other team boss that's driven their own car, their own spec of car. I don't think so. I think I maybe had that conversation with him once as well, and I tried to work it out. But dangerous when I try and work things out of the cup, as Percy knows there. Percy, I'm going to come to you and talk about a team that went the opposite way to RPM, down the team standings. That was ART Grand Prix, third to eighth this year. They did recover with some podiums at Zandvoort as well, which was good for Laurens Van Hoopen as well, getting two podiums on home soil, and Marcus Armand as well, who got pole position and a podium as well, the Sauber Academy back driver. What do you think went wrong for them this year? I mean, it's happened to them in Formula 3 as well. Of course, they won F2 with Théo Pourchaire. What seems to be going wrong for them in Freca this year?
Yeah, I believe they lacked a real leader in the team, because Van Hoopen was supposed to take this role, but it was only his second year of Freca, but also of single seaters. And yeah, they lacked a reference driver like they had in 22 with Gabriele Mini. And we really saw it when Adrian David came in for one single weekend at Spa and nearly got podium. So at the end of the year, of course, we saw Van Hoopen and Amon progressing, because if you just gain 1 or 2 tenths of a second, you can gain like 10 position, because Freca is so competitive. So they are going in the right direction. I want to be optimistic for them, because their lineup is for next year. It has not been announced yet, but it looks like they will be having the two last French F4 champions with Alessandro Giusti and Evan Gilter. And it sounds really, really exciting.
That is an exciting lineup, isn't it? And they bought Evan Gilter in at the end of the season as well, did they? And he looks pretty quick in those last few rounds, being in 11th place on his debut weekend as well. A good start for him to get 11th straight off the bat in that Freca car.
Yeah, no, definitely it's been a very solid debut, especially in a track so technical, so tricky, in very tricky conditions. Of course, the weather was terrible, and yeah, so we'll see how he adapts. But he's been pretty quick in post-season testing, especially this week at Barcelona. So I think the association of Gilter and Giusti will be interesting, because there is one who is supposed to lead the team and one rookie, and it could become quite spicy at one moment.
So you think we've just seen a team that's maybe gone through a blip and could come back next year, like a season they had with Greg Warsawski? Of course, they're a winning team in this championship.
I think it would be very hard, because of course other teams will be working. Of course, there will be Prema, there will be Arace, there will be RPM, of course. And there are so many teams working on their way, but I think ART will have a better year, but fighting for the title will be optimistic.
Well, there was clearly progress made, and it was good to see that was made in the results at the end. Adam, I just want to get your thoughts on as well another driver I think stood out for us, another rookie as well, who was in a similar position to yourself, Maya Virg, who came in as a rookie Ferrari back driver. Fantastic middle stint for her. She did take a rookie win and a string of top 10 finishes. I mean, how is it coming in as a rookie to this championship, first of all, and how impressed were you looking at it from the outside to see her pick up a rookie win as she did?
Yeah, I was really impressed with her performances towards the middle half of the season. I think she made like a huge step forward compared to the start of the season. And I mean, it is super competitive, especially with the split grids in qualifying, which makes it even tougher. You know, if you get put in a tough group, you could be 1/10, which could be 3 places, 1/10 back, which could be 3 places in your group, and then that ends up being 6 or 7 in the total starting order. So I think for her to get, I think, did she have some top 10s and stuff like that? Maybe
six top 10s, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really impressive in her rookie year, and maybe with not a top team as well. So yeah, it's good going.
Yeah, I think certainly outperformed that car, would you say, at times, Percy?
Yeah, she has been really very positive surprise. I think to score 27 points in a KRC is massive, because a bit like G4 Racing, they hadn't scored any point last year. So it's really impressive what she has done. And in my opinion, she would have deserved a seat with Prema in Freca next year. But it seems she's heading out to F1 Academy, which is a move that I have difficulties to understand, but it's not confirmed yet. So we can maybe still keep some hope.
Yeah, well, we will see. I mean, it's, of course, a seat in the F1 paddock, which is definitely going to be an interesting one to see. So let's see how that one goes. Of course, we welcome the F1 Academy champion to the championship last year, to the championship this year. I guess it's a good chance for us to speak about that quickly now, but get both your thoughts on this quickly. We'll start with yourself, Percy. And Marta Garcia won the F1 Academy title at the Circuit of the Americas, now comes in with Prema. How do you think she's going to get on this season or next season?
She will have some very prestigious teammates with Rafael Camara especially, and I think it might be hard, honestly. I think if she can score points consistently, it could be already a good performance, but Freca next year will be very competitive. I think we'll talk maybe about it a little later. I think the objective should be some regular points finishes. And to do better than what did the Alcubasi sisters or Lena Buller when they were in Freca 1 or 2 years ago, and maybe to have a season like Maya Vogt. In fact, it was quite impressive to see finally a female driver doing such good performances. So it's what we can hope for Marta next year, and maybe to challenge other Prema teammates, that would be amazing.
And yourself, Adam, I mean, your thoughts on what the prize that we have there? I mean, I think it's a quite a good prize that F1 Academy have worked with the Freca Championship and the Prema team, of course, having won with them, that she's coming in with a lot of backing now behind her to get this seat. As a driver yourself, are you a fan of that prize? Do you think it's good that she's been given essentially an extra seat?
It's kind of the top prize you could expect, I think, to get support to go in straight into Freca in a top team. You couldn't ask for much more. And it's good to see them getting that opportunity. Mm. I think the winner of that championship should get some sort of opportunity. So it'd be interesting to see how she does. It's really the best test you can give to a driver. You know, to put them into Freca and see how they do. It's you know, you're up against the best drivers. So for sure, she'll have to be on it if she wants to perform. But it'll be a great test and see it. And I'm sure she'll progress a lot in Prema.
Yeah, well, all I will say, there was a lot of eyes certainly on F1 Academy, wasn't there, in that season finale. And those eyes will be on Freca when it comes round next season to see how she gets on. And I wish her the very best of luck for it. The former FIA Karting Academy Trophy champion as well. Not the first time she has won a title at FIA level. Okay, guys, we're going to do our own kind of end of season awards. If you like, this is very, I didn't give you guys a lot of time to think about. This is very off the cuff. No trophies, no prizes, no medals we can send out to the drivers. Just a video for you. But I'm sure they will very much appreciate it. Four categories to run through. So I'm going to get both your answers off this. And this is how we're going to come towards the end of our show. Let's start with hopefully we can get two different answers on this. We might struggle. Let's start with driver of the season. I'm going to let you go first, Adam. I'll request, if I can, two different answers. Adam, let's go with you first.
It would have to be between Stenchon or Giusti. So okay. Stenchon came Stenchon. Second.
And why would you go for him?
Because he came second in his rookie year, and he bettered some experienced teammates. So I think that's a good achievement. So I'd give it to Stenchon. I mean, I think he outperformed what a lot of people expected, and I didn't expect him to be that high up consistently. So I give it to him.
That's a really good answer, I think. Yeah, I you know, 13. Five ahead of Isaac Hadjar on rookie wins is very, okay, very impressive. So, yeah, good answer. Percy?
Well, for the driver of the season, for me, can it be anyone else that other than Antonelli? As I said, he was maybe not the fastest driver on all rounds, but he was always in the top at every weekend. He was the only one to keep a level this high throughout the season. Of course, we expected him to take the title, but he has fully deserved it. And yeah, he's my standout driver of the year.
I forgot that Antonelli was a rookie as well. So, oh no, was he a rookie?
Yeah, he was not in the rookie standings because he had done 5 weekends of Formula Regional Middle East before, but he was in F4 last year. So
yeah,
but I think they're both very good answers. Stenshorn jumped out, and he did a couple of rounds of that the Middle East, but jumped out a little bit earlier. But I think both very, very good answers. They were both record breakers in different ways, and both definitely surprised us in their own ways and put on a really good title fight. Good answers, a good way to kick it off. Let's go for a rising star of the season. I want a driver who you think maybe didn't stand out in the championship standings this year, but looking to next year and the future is going to be one that we need to keep an eye on. So someone to watch out for the future, potential rising star out the championship. Who do we reckon? I'm going to go in the same order. Who's ready to go first? Adam, I'll come to you first this time.
I'll go first, Drew. Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's go first again.
I'd have to say Maya Wegg. We were talking about her before. Because of the progress she made throughout the season. Usually a driver, you know, it's not so common to see them make that big of a jump. They might make a bit of progress, but they might plateau then. But I think she made like a huge jump from where she was at the start to where she was towards the end of the season. So yeah, I'd give it to her.
Yeah, Maiva, that's a good answer as well. It's definitely up there for myself. And yourself, Percy?
For me, it's between Alessandro Giusti or Nikhil Bora. As we have already talked about Giusti, I'll go more with Nikhil Bora because we haven't talked much about him, but he has been really dominating his teammates, both of his experienced teammates, Bilinski and Tangavelu at Trident. And he finished 12th overall in the standings with lots of points finishes. He was quite clean and all that. Of course, we didn't talk about him as much as of Antonelli, Stenson, Giusti, etc. But it has been a very solid rookie year for him too. So I'm really looking forward to what he will do next year.
Good answer as well. Nikhil Bora, yes. Put in some really good performances and I think came back from what was a tough middle stint, didn't he, to then fight back and end the season on a high. And I think that's going to give him a lot of confidence going into next year. Race of the season. Was there a particular race? I mean, I know what mine would be. That's the one that nearly made me fall over right at the end. In the season finale. What about yourself, Adam? What was your race of the season?
I can't remember all the races.
They're hard to all remember because a lot goes on. But yeah.
I remember the races that I did, which was the first four rounds. And for me, it would have been Hockenheim. I think that was quite interesting. Maybe like race two or something. There was a few safety cars and plenty of overtaking, which you might not expect in Hockenheim, which was really fun. And then I did watch the Hockenheim race, the last race of the season, which was brilliant too. So that was very good.
Hockenheim race two, definitely for me. Percy?
I'll go for Zandvoort race two, that I think it will be a race to remember in the future because when we look back at some feeder series performances of F1, of current F1 stars, we think of Charles Leclerc's Bahrain F2 round in 2017, at Max Verstappen Norris Ring F3 round in 2014. And I deeply believe that in the future, we will be able to look back at this race saying, we could see since the beginning that this guy, Antonelli, he had so much talent, starting P8 because of a lottery gamble qualifying, taking the lead in, two, three laps and winning with a 15-second margin, all that under the rain. This kid is special.
Yeah. And finally, guys, we'll go through this one a little bit quicker. Team of the season. I'll start with you, Adam.
Team of the season. I have to give it to my own team, RPM.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, given how they climbed up five places. I think they were the biggest progressors in the championship this year. It's very, very impressive. And yourself, Percy?
I'll go for our race because they had two drivers in the top three overall. And yeah, Stenson and Trapnitz have been flying all season long. They were the only real threats to Antonelli. So yeah, our race.
Yeah, well, there we go. Put yours in the comments below. We had driver of the season, Stenson and Antonelli. Rising stars were Maya Berg and Bora. Race of the season was Hockenheim Race 2 and Zandvoort Race 2. Team of the season, RPM and RSGP. And commentator of the season was Chris McCarthy. Oh, there. There we go. Let's quickly preview next season, guys. Just want to get your thoughts on who you think are going to be. This is probably going to be more directed towards yourself, Percy, as your articles are already going out there. You know, you've got your F2 articles out there. I think you've maybe already got one out there for Freca on who's.
I did one on Freca 1 month ago. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us then, who do you think we should be looking out for transfer wise? Who do you think is going where? And in terms of who do we think is going to be the ones to watch fighting for the championship?
There will be so many drivers to watch. I think 2024 will be maybe even more exciting than 2023. It's always hard to say, but we've already got plenty of post-season testing in different European tracks. And of course, teams run different programs with different tires, different engines, etc. So of course, anyone won't be surprised if I say that Rafael Camara with Prema is the main favorite, as he's supposed to be, yeah, the highest returning driver. There will be also Alessandro Giusti with ERT, and there are so many exciting rookies coming from F4 that are arriving. Ugo Ogochukwu at Prema, who won the Euro 4, Tuukka Taponen, maybe Enzo Delini at R-Race, Evan Gilter, of course, we talked about him a bit earlier. Théophile Nael and Matteo De Palo at Saint-Eloc, Noah Stompstead at RPM, who had his stellar debut in Monza. And so many teams and drivers to watch. If I have to make a bet, a gamble, I really believe Saint-Eloc could be a threat for 2024. They have really very big ambitions. They are recruiting very solid drivers, but also engineers, mechanics. It's all progressing very nicely, and I think we have to watch out for them in 24.
Just very quickly, tell us the guys they've signed, a little bit about them. I know they've signed two already, Matteo De Paolo, Enzo Peugeot already?
Yeah. They have signed already two drivers. Matteo De Paolo was a very nice surprise in Spanish F4. He finished fifth overall, second best rookie. And we didn't expect much from him because he didn't have a very big karting record, but he has been really impressive. And he has been maybe even more impressive in post-season testing with Saint-Eloc this month in November, of course. And there was also Enzo Peugeot, who has been announced, who was the runner-up of French F4 this year. Very good driver. He had a bit more struggles in testing, but he has won seven times in French F4. He was really the main competitor of Evan Gilter on his way to the title. And the third driver should be Théophile Nael, who is simply the Spanish F4 reigning Spanish F4 champion. And yeah, it will be very interesting to see, especially Nael and De Palo. I think it could be a very, very strong lineup.
Very interesting. And what you've heard there, Adam, anything stick out to you out of that? It seems we could be to watch out for next year. It's hard to keep up with the knowledge of Percy when it comes to Freca sometimes. But what sticks out to me there is, you know, Ugo Ogochukwu coming in as Euro 4 champion. He's going to be a real threat, definitely, going into a Prema lineup with Rafa Camara possibly and Marta Garcia. So we're going to have two champions combined with the highest returning seed. I mean, they're going to be a hard team to beat next year, aren't they?
Yeah, Ugo is a good driver for sure. I raced against him in British F4. I think you mentioned, I don't know a lot of the drivers or what they've achieved, but it seems like there's a lot of new drivers coming into the championship from F4. and they've all achieved things in the F4 categories. So it'd be interesting, you know, to see how they all do.
Yeah, the early stages are going to be critical. Starting at Hockenheim as well, that's going to be an interesting one. I mean, a track where racing is very open, so it's going to be where qualifying maybe isn't so essential. It could really mix things up a bit.
Yeah, I think that's going to be chaotic, to be honest. Yeah. Hockenheim for the first round, when everyone's getting used to the racing in Freca, is going to be probably crazy. But yeah, it'll be interesting for the viewers.
With push to pass. And how's that to use? Tell us how that is to use very quickly.
I think it's not too powerful, to be honest. I mean, in general, the slipstream in these cars, in the Freca cars, is not very powerful. And yeah, it's difficult to overtake even with push to pass. I mean, the driver would have to make quite a big mistake, let's say, for you to get the benefit of push to pass.
But Hockenheim, it's a very long straight. I'm sure we're going to get plenty around there. That we've come to the end of our show. We're going to wrap up there. Thank you both very much, guys. Before we do, it's how we ended our awards at the track. And I think it's only right that we end our awards in this season preview in this way as well. Of course, we did lose someone from the Formula Regional European Championship by Alpine this season. We've mentioned him throughout the show a couple of times as well. That was Delano Vantoff back at Spa. Of course, Adam involved in that incident as well. Left a huge hole in the paddock, Delano, when we lost him. And we all do think about him. We send our thoughts to his family and friends, particularly at this time as we approach the Christmas celebrations. I just want to go around. I really think it's necessary to talk about the incident itself. More about Delano himself and just about some of our favorite memories of Delano. I mean, for me, I knew him since karting in 2017. He was a great character to know and always a very funny character around the paddock, a very talented driver as well. And he was a huge, huge loss, still is. And seeing those stickers being driven around, I guess it's at all levels, is always very touching. I want to come to yourself first, Adam, about this. I mean, you knew him around the paddock. Just tell us how he was as a fellow driver.
Yeah, so I didn't know Delano personally, let's say, on a deep level or anything like that. But my first memories of Delano were watching him in F4. I think it was in 2022 maybe, or 2021, where he won the championship and he dominated the Spanish F4. I was just in karting at that stage. I was in my first full year of karting, and I suppose I looked up to him a lot, actually, as an idol almost, because to see what he achieved in Italian F4 is really impressive, and that's what I wanted to emulate. So when I jumped into the Freca paddock and I was like, oh shit, that's Delano, it was like, kind of, you know, took back a bit because of I've watched him, you know, in F4 and stuff like that. So obviously Delano was an incredible driver, and what happened was tragic, and I just hope he's not forgotten for what he's achieved.
No, it never will be. I want to come to yourself, Percy. You would have reported on him for a long time, and I'm sure maybe had the pleasure to meet him a couple of times as well. Tell us some of the things that you remember from Delano most.
Well, of course, he was a very talented driver. We all know he absolutely dominated Spanish F4 in 2021, but he had a lot of injuries in 2022 for his Freca rookie season. I didn't know him much personally, but I knew he was really appreciated by his teammates, especially Sammy McTunniff, who has been his teammates for the past two seasons. I will always remember October 2022. I was at Mugello for the final round of the year, and I was planning to go to a restaurant with my girlfriend. And Delano was just in front of us in the queue, and he took the last table available. Now it seems so far away, so ridiculous a few months later. But yeah, for sure, he would have gone to FIF3 next year, probably with MP. And Chris, you would have probably talked about him in a next Transfer Weekly episode. And yeah, I really wish we would be in this alternate universe, but unfortunately, here we are. And I'm at least grateful that Adam is still with us to talk about all of this today.
Yeah, no, well said from you both, and a lovely celebration that we had for his life and his achievements earlier this year, and those will continue every single year. He will certainly never be forgotten, that's for sure, and we will always continue to celebrate with his life. We did that at Hockenheim, and that will never be stopped within the Formula Regional European Championship by Alpine or the Feeder Series, and our thoughts certainly go out to his friends and family at this time. Guys, thank you very much for joining us on the show. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on and for talking about, I'm sure, what are still some quite tough subjects as well. You know, very brave of you to agree to talk about it. Thank you so
happy
much.
Happy to be
mate.
Here.
And just from all of us, we're so grateful that you're able to get back in the car, mate, for start. And secondly, best of luck for next season. We're all going to be cheering for you, mate. And keep us posted. Don't be a stranger. Come and join us on the show again sometime. We got our transfer weeklies. Yeah. Come and join us for an episode sometime. And if you're ever at Freca as well, like I said to you last time, the commentary box door is always open, mate, if you fancy coming and joining us.
Sounds good. I'll have to see how I am as a commentator.
Yeah, mate, you should definitely try it. I was trying to get you in at Red Bull Ring, but I know you are very busy enjoying it with the team. Come and join us for a stint sometime. But best of luck over in the States. We really wish you all the best over there. And Percy, where can we find this article that tells us who's going where?
There might be some little change because the article was end of October. You can put Esteban Masson out of Saint-Eloi and put Matteo De Palo instead. And but otherwise, the predictions still seem pretty correct.
Good stuff. And you're still welcome back in the paddock. Look forward to seeing you back there next year. Guys, have a wonderful Christmas. Hope to see you both on a transfer weekly soon. And Adam, best of luck for next season. Thank you all for watching. This has been the Freca review on Feeder Series. Do join us for some transfer weeklies and some F2 reviews. We're going to be doing post-season reviews, pre-season reviews as well, so be sure to tune in for that. And we're doing season reviews for all the other Feeder Series championships as well, so make sure you watch out for those. But for now, from all of us at Feeder Series, it's goodbye.